Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on aspartame and sugar when we come back. Well, we Americans are the most litigious people in the world, and we believe in our lawyers with a kind of religious fervor. And we're taught from early childhood that he who represents himself in court as a fool for a client. But what would you say if a plumber said that? What if your plumber said, he who fixes his own pipes has a fool for a client? Or what if a carpenter said, he who fixes his own steps has a fool for a client? Now, doesn't our common sense tell us that a plumber or a carpenter who couldn't fix his own pipes or steps is incompetent? Well, my common sense tells me that a lawyer who can't represent himself in court has to be just as incompetent as that plumber or carpenter. Now, listen to James Nielsen. He's a professor, a law school professor at the Hastings Law School. Here's what he had to say about these young, budding lawyers. He said, it is a fact that a student can graduate from this, the fourth largest law school in the United States, without ever having written a pleading, a contract, a will, a promissory note, or a deed, and it's worse than that. Most students graduate from this law school without ever having seen a real honest-to-God pleading, contract, will, promissory note, or a deed, and a student can graduate without having set foot in a courtroom, without ever having spoken to or on behalf of a person in need of advice or counsel, and a student can graduate without once being exposed to the operation of the rules of court. Now, whatever else may be said about this license issued by the state bar, let it be said that for these students and their clients, that it is a cruel hoax. Now, that's Professor James Nielsen of the Hastings Law School. Now, if you'd like more information about courtroom strategy and procedure, why don't you call the law school at 417-273-4967 and be sure to ask for my free general law CD package. Now, that's a four-hour commentary on the law school. It's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative, and best of all, it's free of charge. Now, courtroom strategy and procedure is available on compact disc for adult home education. And if you're online, you can go to your website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and send me an email request for that free general law CD package. Why don't you do it right now before you forget? Remember, georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, last time we started our discussion on aspartame. Aspartame was approved back in 1981 by our Secretary of Defense, Rumsfeld. Isn't that just real special? It's a drug. It was a drug that was originally intended for ulcers, but it didn't work for ulcers, and so they decided because it tasted so sweet that they'd use it in soda pop, and now it's been approved for foods. When it gets up to 86 degrees, it turns to formaldehyde and a couple of other chemicals, and people who come back from the Gulf War have this thing called Gulf War syndrome. Oftentimes people have MS. They think it's multiple sclerosis, when in reality they're suffering from aspartame poisoning, and there's a simple solution to it. You can take the aspartame test. What you do is you get off of aspartame for 60 days. 60 days. And if you can stay off that stuff for 60 days, either one, your health is going to improve or nothing's going to happen. So if nothing happens, well, then it's not aspartame, is it? And if something happens and you start feeling real good all of a sudden, then you'll know that, hey, listen, that aspartame makes me feel real bad. Now, aspartame has side effects. And the multitude of aspartame side effects are indicative to your genetic individuality and physical weaknesses. And it's important to put two and two together nonetheless, and identify which side effects aspartame is creating within you. There are over 92 different health side effects associated with aspartame consumption. They've all been documented. It seems surreal, but true. How can one chemical create so much chaos? Aspartame dissolves into solution and can therefore travel throughout your body and deposit within any of your tissues. Your body digests aspartame, unlike saccharin, which does not break down within humans. The components of aspartame can lead to a number of health problems, as you have read. Side effects can occur gradually, or they can be immediate, or they can be acute reactions. According to Lyndon Smith, MD, there is an enormous population suffering from the side effects associated with aspartame, and yet have no idea why drugs, supplements, and herbs don't relieve their symptoms. Then, there are users who don't appear to suffer immediate reactions at all. Even these individuals are susceptible to the long-term damage caused by excitatory amino acids. They're called phenylalanine and methanol and DK. KP. Now, adverse reactions and side effects of aspartame include, and I mentioned this last time, so in case you missed a couple of them, why don't you get your pen and paper out there. This document comes from www.sweetpoison.com. Aspartame is sweet poison. Tastes real good. You'll love it. www.sweetpoison.com. It's all one word, .com. Now, adverse reactions and side effects of aspartame include eye problems, such as blindness in one or both eyes, decreased vision and or other eye problems, such as blurring, bright flashes, squiggly lines, and tunnel vision, decreased night vision, pain in one or both eyes, decreased tears, trouble with contact lenses, and bulging eyes. So let's see here. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 symptoms that will affect your eyes or your vision as a side effect of aspartame. You just write that down. 10 right there. Ears. Now you've got tinnitus, ringing or buzzing sound, severe intolerance of noise, and marked hearing impairment. So there's four symptoms that appear with your ears. Then there are neurologic symptoms, such as epileptic seizures, headaches, migraines and some severe dizziness, unsteadiness, both confusion and memory loss, both severe drowsiness and sleepiness, paresthesia, or numbness of the limbs, severe slurring of speech, severe hyperactivity and restless legs, atypical facial pain, and severe tremors. There's 14 symptoms that are neurological. Then there are psychological and psychiatric reactions, such as severe depression, irritability, aggression, anxiety, personality changes, insomnia, and phobias. So there's 7 psychological or psychiatric reactions. In your chest, you may feel palpitations, tachycardia, shortness of breath, or recent high blood pressure, 4 symptoms in your chest. Gastrointestinal problems such as nausea, diarrhea, blood in your stool, abdominal pain, and pain when swallowing, 5 symptoms that are gastrointestinal. All right, going on, skin and allergies. You may have itching without a rash, lip and mouth reactions, hives, or aggravated respiratory allergies such as asthma. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4 symptoms with skin and allergies caused by aspartame. Now your endocrine and metabolic loss of control of diabetes, menstrual changes, marked thinning of or loss of hair, marked weight loss, gradual weight gain, aggravated low blood sugar called hypoglycemia, and severe PMS. 7 symptoms, endocrine and metabolic. Here's some others. Frequency of voiding and burning during urination, excessive thirst, fluid retention, leg swelling, bloating, increased susceptibility to infection. 6 subjects there. Additional symptoms of aspartame toxicity include the most critical symptoms of all: death, irreversible brain damage, birth defects, including mental retardation, peptic ulcers, aspartame addiction, increased craving for sweets, hyperactivity in children, severe depression, aggressive behavior, and suicidal tendencies. 12 symptoms. Aspartame may trigger or mimic or cause the following illnesses: chronic fatigue syndrome, Epstein-Barr syndrome, post-polio syndrome, Lyme disease, Graves' disease, Meniere's disease, Alzheimer's disease, Lou Gehrig's disease, epilepsy, multiple sclerosis, EMS, hyperthyroidism, mercury sensitivity from amalgam fillings, fibromyalgia, lupus, non-Hodgkin's disease, lymphoma, and ADD, called attention deficit disorder. How many was that? You count those up again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. 18 symptoms. Now, these are not allergies or sensitivities, but diseases and disease syndromes. Aspartame poisoning is commonly misdiagnosed because aspartame symptoms mock textbook disease symptoms such as Graves' disease. Now, remember, there are 92 symptoms that have been documented and categorized over the years. And remember, this stuff came into widespread use after 1981, so it's been around for about 25 years. Now, there have been other sweeteners, not of the same chemical composition. We'll talk about some of those, like cyclamates and Splenda, stevia, saccharin, and the use of sugar, the widespread use of sugar, which triggered all of these diet substitutes, these chemicals that we're taking in the form of aspartame. Now, aspartame changes the ratio of amino acids in your blood, blocking or lowering the levels of serotonin, tyrosine, dopamine, norepinephrine, and adrenaline. Therefore, it is typical that aspartame symptoms cannot be detected in lab tests or on x-rays. Textbook disorders and diseases may actually be a toxic load as a result of aspartame poisoning. So this is the way they've come up with the solution to aspartame poisoning, or the diagnosis. So take off aspartame for 60 days. Let's suppose that you're showing symptoms of epilepsy, multiple sclerosis, or hyperthyroidism. And the doctor, if he's got his head screwed on straight, says, gee, we've given you every test we can think of, and we can't figure out what's causing this. It appears, you know, that this is what you've got, and this is the symptom. This is the drug that we use to treat that symptom. But let's take a guess that maybe what we've got here is aspartame poisoning because you drink a lot of soda pop. And the doctor should ask you, hey, do you drink a lot of Diet Coke? I've had people come here to school, and they'll sit here, and this to show you how addictive this stuff is. I had a guy here one time. He was drinking Mountain Dew, and we'll talk about Mountain Dew separately. But it's a very addictive drink, and this guy was so addicted to this Mountain Dew, he bought it by the case in the 2-liter bottles, and he would buy 6 or 8 cases at a time. Now, there's 12 bottles in a case, so he's out there getting 6-8 cases. He just buy all the stuff that was in the store, and he was drinking 2. Now, 2 liters a day, that's about a gallon, round numbers. Two 2-liter bottles a day here on the ranch. I said, you know, that stuff's going to kill you. I mean, I don't think you can drink that. Now, that doesn't have aspartame in it. He's just drinking the real sugar. I mean, he's getting the real stuff. He's not messing around with artificials. But I want to point out that these soft drinks become addictive. You know, they're like cocaine and heroin. So if you're addicted to these soda pops, don't think that that's unusual. It's designed that way. After all, we want to sell more pop. And people see soda pop as being harmless. They see beer as being dangerous, but soda pop is harmless. So your local preacher will probably tell you, drink Coke. Don't drink wine or beer. The Bible says drink wine and beer, but, you know, the preacher over here, he knows more than God. So he's going to tell you drink soda pop. And if you're a little chunky, he'll probably tell you to drink diet soda pop. And we'll find out here that aspartame actually causes obesity. So if you think that by drinking diet pop, see, they call it diet pop because if they called it fat pop, you wouldn't drink it. So if they had fat Coke, you'd shun that. But if it says diet Coke, well, let's drink it. Now, you get fatter and fatter drinking this diet Coke, but you never put the two together. Americans can't read and they can't think. So because they can't read and can't think, when they see diet Coke, they say, well, I'm overweight, so I need to go on a diet, so I'm going to drink diet Coke. And they drink and they eat all these diet products and get fatter and fatter. You ever notice that? And they can't figure it out. They'll spend the rest of their lives and they'll never be able to figure it out because the label says it's diet. So if the label says it's diet, that's what they believe. Now, if we put poison Coke out here, you wouldn't want to drink it. So if we put diet Coke out here, that makes it better. Now, this aspartame is a deadly poison. One of the symptoms of aspartame poisoning is death. So when you finally expire, they don't put aspartame poisoning on your death certificate. They put one of these symptoms on here. They'll say that you died of epilepsy, ALS, Alzheimer's disease, Meniere's disease, hyperthyroidism, mercury sensitivity, lupus, lymphoma. Or something else. See, they'll put something else on the death certificate because if they put aspartame poisoning on there, people might get excited about that, and it would be bad for business. Now, this is nothing personal. It's just business. Now, have you ever gone to the doctor with a real physical symptom and then the doctor can't find the cause? Well, it may well be your diet, your environment, or maybe a combination of your diet and environment. Aspartame is the common denominator for over 92 different health symptoms at the root of modern disease. The aspartame detoxification program demonstrates the most effective way to reverse disease symptoms is removing the underlying cause, aspartame. It's a wild concept, but if you're being poisoned by aspartame, you quit ingesting the poison and you get better automatically. You don't need any further drugs, therapy, treatment, doctors, hospitals, or anything else. You stop poisoning yourself and you'll get better right away. Wild new concept. Aspartame is the common denominator for over 92 different health symptoms. Remember that, 92. So I counsel aspartame victims worldwide and have witnessed 9 out of 10 clients restore their health by following the aspartame detoxification program. You begin with detoxifying your body of all residual chemical toxins from aspartame's chemical makeup of phenylalanine, aspartic acid, and methanol, and their toxic byproducts, and then see if any adverse health symptoms remain. Try the aspartame detoxification program, and within 30 days, your symptoms should disappear. Now, other articles recommend 60 days. This guy here says 30. Steps. First of all, remove all sugar-free products with aspartame from your diet. Two, learn to read. Learn to read your body. Begin recording any health changes. Get a hair analysis. Be happy with yourself. Detoxify. Restore depleted nutrients. Exercise and get plenty of rest. Eat 75% raw foods at every meal. Drink water. 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 Get control of your life. Now, anybody that eats 75% raw foods at every meal would never have a problem with aspartame, because only vegetarians and health food nuts do things like that, and they don't have aspartame poisoning, because people that are into health foods, they already know about the aspartame poisoning, and so they avoid it like AIDS, herpes, and VD. Now, if you're a normal person and you eat a normal diet, the normal American diet made up of McDonald's, Big Macs, supersized fries, and Diet Coke, this may affect you, but if you went on to a diet of 75% raw vegetables, it'd kill you. Your body would never be able to tolerate that kind of food shock. So you need to start in on this slow and easy. Do not stop Big Macs and supersized fries, cold turkey, and start eating 75% raw vegetables. It'll kill you. Okay. So you have to start in slow and easy. Now try a carrot along with the supersized fries. Just a raw carrot. Take a bite of carrot and then eat a couple of fries. Eat a bite of carrot and a couple of fries. Test that. Try it. I designed this 10-step program to help protect your health and the health of those that you love from being seduced by the sugar-free diet craze. Wishing you good health. Now, what can you do about aspartame side effects? Well, set an example by changing your diet. Then tell everyone that you know. Talk to the schools and daycare centers. Offer to speak at parent-teachers meetings. And contact your local state and federal government representatives. I'm going to pause right there. Excuse me, boys and girls. Contact your local state and federal government representatives. That means write a letter to your senator. Excuse me, but wasn't it government that gave you aspartame? What in the hell makes you believe that if you wrote a letter to the government that gave you the poison to start with, that they're going to take the poison off the market? Besides that, you need to ask yourself, how much money did you give to your local representative or Senate race or presidential candidate in the last election? Well, let me assure you that Monsanto, the maker of aspartame, and the food and beverage industry, which makes so much money off of it, gave millions of dollars to your senators and representatives. So I would take that number three, you know, set an example by changing your diet, tell everyone you know, talk to schools and daycare centers, and then offer to speak at parent-teachers meetings, and then contact your local, state, and federal government representatives. You can just forget about step three, unless you got a lot of time to waste. Now, if you see someone with a diet drink, ask if they have had any of the typical aspartame side effects. Can't you just picture this? You're sitting in McDonald's, you see, and the guy next to you over there, he's drinking a Diet Coke, and you lean over and you say, have you had any of the typical aspartame side effects? And the guy's going to look at you, and he might punch you out because he might think that you're some kind of a nut. So I would leave out step four. I don't think I would start asking people if they're eating or drinking aspartame. Spread the word at your work. Be an evangelist. Get out here and tell the world about the poisons that they're drinking. Then distribute the Aspartame Consumer Safety Network and Pilots Hotline. Tell your doctor about the scientific research available proving the negative side effects of aspartame. Register a complaint with the FDA, the FAA, and NutraSweet Company about aspartame poisoning. Return all food products with aspartame, opened or unopened, to your grocer. Tell him or her that the products make you sick. The grocer can return them to the manufacturer for a store refund. The manufacturer should get the message. So will the grocer. Hey, that's a good idea. I like that one. See, these big supermarkets, they'll give you back your money. They really will. We've tested that a time or two. They want your business, right? And they don't want to tick you off. So you bring back the Diet Coke, and you say, hey, listen, I drank this Diet Coke, and it's got aspartame in it. This aspartame is a deadly poison. And maybe you could go to www.sweetpoison.com and get a copy of this article. And hand this grocer this article with the five Diet Cokes that are left in the package and tell him, this crap makes me sick. I want my money back. Look at this poison you're selling here in your store. Don't do that to me. Yeah, that's why we have labels. And the grocer, he might wake up to that, and it actually might do some good. And then spread the word on computer networks. be a gossip. Get out there and tell everybody in the world about aspartame. And then publish articles and newsletters at your church, place of work, or neighborhood association. That's not a bad idea. What you do is if you got a position in church, you know you're a deacon or you're somebody, you know, that's, you know, a preacher or something like that, and you got a little latitude there in the church, or maybe you're the head of the youth group. What you do is you get a copy of this www.sweetpoison.com article on aspartame, and if you just punch in aspartame on Google, they'll send you to about 30 different websites that have all kinds of information on aspartame. So if you want to be a goody two-shoes and you want to save other people from being poisoned, you can do little things like this, and you get about 50, 75 copies, and the next time you go to church, you'll pass them out. Just hand them out, you know, to people. Just say, here's an interesting little article I picked up. Here, Bob, here's an interesting little article I picked up. Hey, Tom, here's a little interesting article I picked up. And then maybe for the first time in their lives, they'll take a look. And this is really good because it has the 92 symptoms on it. And then when people look at that and they say, my God, yeah, you know, I've got skin allergies over here. I itch without a rash. And I've got lip and mouth reactions and hives and aggregated respiratory allergies such as asthma. Maybe it's aspartame poisoning. This is a dynamite little article here. And then set a personal example for health and wellness. Well, you know, let's not be extremists. Okay, 12 questions you need to have answered before you eat Splenda. Splenda? Now, I don't know what the Splenda is. There's different products. For instance, Cyclamates over here, I think we're taking off the market. They kill too many rats. Now, we don't care if it kills people, but if it kills animals, boy, then we're going to do away with this stuff. And this stuff killed rats. So, you know, if you gave them Cyclamates, the story went like this. You know, if you feed Cyclamates to a rat in quantities that would approximate a boxcar load given to a human every 30 days, the rat will develop cancer. So back in the, I don't know, 70s or 80s, it was a long time ago, they got rid of these Cyclamates. Now, that really doesn't help you a whole bunch, and I'll tell you why. You see, in other countries, they use Cyclamates, kind of like DDT. See, DDT was banned here in the United States, but they didn't ban it in Mexico. And Walmart buys your tomatoes in Mexico. So in Mexico, they're spraying your tomatoes with DDT so that you're getting the same amount of DDT that you were before you were taken off of DDT here in the United States. The same thing happens. When food is imported from Greece, Turkey, China, Japan, Chile, Argentina, Mexico, you know, from any country in the world, they may be using Cyclamates. They may be using Splenda or something in their products, which is another good reason for growing your own food and then don't eat out of the supermarket, because there's nothing in a supermarket fit for human consumption. And if there is, I haven't been able to find it. If any of you listeners out there have been in a supermarket and found anything in there fit for human consumption, would you send me an email and let me know what it is? I might like to buy some. Everything else in there is a manufactured chemical product, which contains poisons and dyes and sprays and all kinds of additives over there that are deleterious to your health, safety, and welfare. But it's okay because it's approved by the FDA. It's FDA approved. All right, let me give you a reminder, and then we'll be back with more on this thing called aspartame poisoning, aspartame and sugar. 12 questions you need to have answered before you eat Splenda right after this. You're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and worldwide on the Internet. For more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, go to our homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org. The law website is updated every week. It is our radio log schedule and archives. It can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events 7 days a week. And the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. The sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements, however, and recommendations that we give do not mean that those authors or publications that we endorse and recommend are going to reciprocate by endorsing or recommending the Law Hour or editorial review. And that's because most of these authors and publications that we cite on the Law Hour are political, or they're religious, or economic, or they may be sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, whose viewpoint is not necessarily endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review either. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They do not necessarily represent The beliefs and opinions of the advertiser, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station, but they should. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, or call the Law School Director at 417-273-4967. 12 questions you need to have answered before you eat Splenda. S-P-L-E-N-D-A, Splenda. This comes from Dr. Janet Starr Hull's Health Newsletter of December 2003. Dr. Janet Starr Hull. And you can get a copy of it, I guess. Let's see if I... Down here at the bottom of the page, it says http://mercola.com. It's got a bunch of other little thingies on there, too. If you like this article and you'd like to get a copy of it and you don't know how, and you can't get it from Mercola, why don't you call the law school and ask Dirk. He can probably tell you how to get that. This came off the web. This information is provided by Mercola.com, the world's most visited and trusted natural health website. You can keep current on all of the exciting new natural health news by subscribing to the free weekly health newsletter at Mercola.com. I don't know what happened to www here, boys, but it's Mercola.com. If you have a problem and you can't get it, call the school. The following interview was conducted by Dr. Janet Starr Hull on the safety of sucralose found in Splenda. Question, what exactly is Splenda, Dr. Hull? Answer, well, in a simple sentence, you would just as soon have a pesticide in your food as sucralose because sucralose, known as Splenda, is a chlorocarbon. The chlorocarbons have long been known for causing organ, genetic, and reproductive damage. And it should be no surprise, therefore, that the testing of sucralose reveals that it can cause up to 40% shrinkage of the thymus, a gland that is the very foundation of our immune system. Sucralose also causes swelling of the liver and kidneys and calcification of your kidney. Note, if you experience kidney pain, cramps, or an irritated bladder after using sucralose in Splenda, then stop using it immediately. Well, that makes a lot of sense. You know, if you take a dose of arsenic and you notice that you're having pains and adverse reactions, stop further consumption of arsenic. I like the logic in this newsletter. Question, so sucralose is not found as a natural compound in nature like real sugar? Answer, absolutely not. No sugar molecule is compounded with chlorine anywhere in nature. Oh, I'm going to take issue with that. You know, we've got natural water in our water supplies that's full of chlorine, don't we? Well, I don't know of any water supplies in America that don't have chlorine. You mean chlorine isn't natural? Question, do you know how it's made in the laboratory? Answer, well, I found this information from a statement from the manufacturer, actually. Sucralose is made from sugar, but it is derived from sucrose sugar through a process that selectively substitutes three atoms of chlorine for three hydrogen-oxygen groups on the sucralose molecule. No artificial sweetener made in the laboratory is going to be neither natural to the body nor safer than the unprocessed sugar, they claim. People need to stop searching for excuses to eat all of the junk food they want without penalty. In the long run, no one benefits from this product but the corporations. You know, it's nothing personal, boys and girls. It's just money. It's just profit. Question. The corporate researchers claim that the chlorine atoms are so tightly bound they create a molecular structure that is exceptionally stable under extreme pH and temperature conditions. Do you agree? Answer. Well, they are testing these conditions in laboratory rats, and these types of corporate studies have forced and selective results, in my opinion. Aspartame research is the proof of this. Test these chemicals on a child and see how stable it is. But that would be cruel. Wait, stop right there. I don't understand this doctor at all. It would be cruel if we tested these chemicals on monkeys, dogs, or cats. I don't see anything wrong with testing these untested chemicals on children, human beings, or the population as a whole. I mean, after all, we've been doing that for at least 50 years in this country. Why should we change now? Who would want to be cruel to animals like dumb dogs and cats? Let's be cruel to intelligent human children. Don't you agree? She says, test these chemicals on a child and see how stable it is. But that would be cruel. So why then do we buy it and give it to our children? That's because we buy it and give it to our children because we don't want to be cruel to dumb animals, doctor. She goes on to say, I don't buy into manufacturers' claims when it comes to human beings using any man-made chemical. Plus, I've learned over the past 25 years of aspartame research to value independent research above that which is funded by corporations. Question. The corporations say sucralose is safe. Answer. They said the same thing about aspartame. And then look at the rampant disease and obesity taking over America since aspartame was put into the food supply over 20 years ago. Question. Can sucralose cause cancer? Answer. Any animal that eats chlorine, especially on a regular basis, is at risk of cancer. Excuse me. I got to stop here for a second. Did you hear that? Okay, now you're driving down the freeway, and that guy just cut you off, and you're ticked off. But let me repeat this again. Listen to this now, boys and girls. Any animal that eats chlorine, especially on a regular basis, is at risk of cancer. Did you know that? I don't know that, but this doctor says any animal that eats chlorine, especially on a regular basis, is at risk of cancer. Well, Jesus, don't all human animals drink chlorine out of their tap, out of their water supply on a regular basis? I mean, don't you bathe in it? Don't you brush your teeth in it? Don't you shower in it? Don't you cook with it? Don't you drink it on a regular basis? Well, I mean, there's some of you health food nuts out there that drink bottled water, but or some of you crazy lunatics that have a private well or something like that, but normal people drink chlorine out of the water. Now, the Merck Manual and OSHA 40, SARA 120 Hazardous Waste Handbook. You get this? Now, your government, you know, OSHA, the EPA, and state tax, and well, not state tax, but SARA 120, they have a handbook. It's called the Hazardous Waste Handbook. I don't know where to get one, and I don't have one, but I just wanted to cite it here. Well, in the Hazardous Waste Handbooks, it says that chlorine is a carcinogen. All right, boys and girls, for those of you that are illiterate, carcinogen, that's a big word that means cancer, causes cancer. And emergency procedure should be taken when exposed by way of swallowing, inhaling, or through the skin. Okay, I'm going to come back to this. Boys and girls, all you good people out there that live in the cities and you drink water, you cook with water, you bathe in water. This water has chlorine in it. Oh, of course, it's just a little bit of chlorine. It's not very much. It's not enough to kill you. Not that the first time you use it, it won't kill you. But it's cumulative, you see, and you keep using it and using it and using it, and then one day you end up with breast cancer or uterine cancer or some kind of cancer, and then you go to the doctor and he says, oh, it's just the breaks of the game, and we don't know what causes this cancer, we can't figure it out, and then we don't know how to cure it, we don't know what causes it, we don't know how to cure it, but for $100,000, boy, have we got a treatment. Now, this is a medical doctor writing this article, and she seems to think that chlorine is bad for you. And she's citing from the Hazardous Waste Handbook. So evidently OSHA, that's the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, they think it's bad for you. And then there's the Merck Manual, they think it's bad for you. But what in the hell do these crazies know about chlorine anyway? Well, it all depends upon how much you use and how often, your present and past health status, and the degree of other toxins you're putting inside of your body. So good luck with this one. So why don't you just test this? Just walk into the kitchen, turn on the faucet, pour yourself a glass of water, drink it down, set the glass on the counter and say, ha, 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 I drank chlorine and it didn't kill me. Do it two or three times just to reinforce in your own mind the safety of the tap water that you drink every day. It'll make you feel real good. That way you can live with your denial and it'll make you feel good at the same time. Now, when you get to be age 37, 46, or 52 and you develop cancer, ask the doctor, doc, what caused the cancer? And I'll bet you he's going to say, God, I don't know. It's a mystery. We haven't got a clue. And we don't know how to cure it either, but boy, do we have a treatment. Then get your checkbook out, shut your mouth, fold your hands, and do what you're told. Question. Sucralose has been thoroughly tested, they claim. Actually, they've stated that sucralose is the most tested food additive in history. I quote, more than 100 studies on the safety of sucralose designed to meet the highest scientific standards have been conducted and evaluated over the course of 20 years. Answer. I don't believe that for a second. They stated verbatim the same thing about aspartame. We're looking at the same scenario in so many ways as with NutraSweet. No human studies, corporate payrolled researchers, selective result reporting, government involvement, and personal financial interests in controlled media. I will say that sucralose is not as dangerous as aspartame. Well, that makes me feel good. That's like saying that arsenic is not as dangerous as strychnine. That'll make you feel real good, you know, when you're eating arsenic. Now, boys and girls, would you expect that corporate America would put out a claim that sucralose has never been tested? We have never tested sucralose, and we haven't got a clue as to what this stuff is going to do to you, but we believe that it's good for our profit line, and it's cheap to make, and it's a hell of a lot cheaper than real sugar, and that's why we use it in Coca-Cola. Now, you know, that's not conducive to sales, for crying out loud. Let's grow up and get real. But it makes it sound a lot better if we say we have 100 studies on the safety of sucralose that we use in our Coca-Cola and Pepsi. And these tests meet the highest scientific standards. My God, what do you want me to tell you here? I'm from corporate America, and we're testing this crap, but we use the poorest scientific standards that we can devise because we don't want the truth to be known that this stuff kills laboratory rats. I mean, come on, boys and girls, that would be bad for the rats, and that would be bad for PETA. Splenda is approximately 600 times sweeter than sugar. How can that be? Asks this questioner. Answer, well, as I stated before, the product is a forced product. It's not a natural sugar that the body uses for fuel. People forget that sweetness is a byproduct of foods. It's a bonus, so to say. Forced sweetness, revved up sweetness, and artificial sweetness are all altered foods that are a trap for people to get addicted to the sweeter tastes. People with eating disorders and children who are just learning about food and people with illnesses are all being sold a bill of rubbish, in my opinion. Question. The manufacturer claims that sucralose doesn't react with other substances in the body and is not broken down in the body. Answer. Well, they claim the same thing about saccharin, even though I feel saccharin is the only artificial sweetener with true merit. But to answer your question, if the body is digesting properly, anything that you put into the body will be assimilated. If it happens to be rancid, the stomach will throw it out immediately by vomiting or diarrhea. It is totally out of the realm of biological science to think that the body will not immediately attack a toxic chemical. Henceforth, migraines from aspartame and diarrhea from Splenda. Now, to add a note to this, if your body is fed an indigestible product such as plastic, like in margarine, yeah, that's right, they put little plastic balls in margarine, isn't that just special? That is, incapable of dissolving through normal digestion, it will pass through undigested if it doesn't get stuck in your gallbladder. So if sucralose is indigestible due to its laboratory compounding, then we have yet another serious health problem to consider, don't you think? Technology is great, but we don't need to be eating our technology, do we? Question. U.S. Food and Drug Administration and government food authority committees and the health ministries in countries such as Canada, Mexico, the Dominican Republic, Jamaica, Trinidad and Tobago, Argentina and Brazil have confirmed the safety of sucralose. So have the countries of Colombia, Peru, Venezuela, Uruguay, Romania, Lebanon, Qatar, Bahrain, Pakistan, Tajikistan, China, South Africa, and Tanzania. Now, what do you think of all of these countries confirming Splenda's safety? Answer. Well, the history of aspartame has unfortunately proven that individuals within government agencies cannot and should not be trusted to make such empowering public decisions behind closed doors. Now, reread this list of countries. Mexico, Jamaica, Tajikistan, and Tanzania. These are the countries in which Splenda is now marketed. As an international geographer, I can comfortably say that these countries are not nations with the same technology and mass marketing strategies to be compared with the United States. These countries are more concerned with birth control, food staples, hostile takeovers, and drought, not diet sweeteners. Now let's compare apples to apples, shall we? Question. Is sucralose safe for children? Answer. The manufacturer actually made this statement for disclosure. Quote, one should note, however, that foods made with low-calorie sweeteners are not normally a recommended part of a child's diet, since calories are important to a growing child's body. So pay attention, boys and girls. Children should not be encouraged to grow up on fake foods. But just like cigarettes and alcohol, do what I say and not what I do. And we wonder why the younger generation is angry, ill, and ridden with ADD and ADHD and diabetes. How many kids do you see taking a sip of mom or brother's diet soda? Question. Who manufactures and who markets sucralose? Answer. McNeil Specialty Products Company, a wholly owned subsidiary of Johnson & Johnson, along with Tate & Lyle, PLC, a world leader in sweeteners and starches, they all share responsibility for developing and manufacturing sucralose for commercial use. Sucralose is the first product from McNeil Specialty whose mission is to develop the market innovative food ingredients that help consumers control, maintain, and improve their health. Internationally, McNeil Specialty markets sucralose in the United States, Canada, Latin America and the Caribbean, Australia, New Zealand, and the Middle East. Tate & Lyle markets sucralose in Africa, Asia, Europe, and Canada. Internationally, McNeil Specialty markets sucralose under the name Splendar brand sweetener. Splendar is a registered trademark of McNeil Specialty Products Company. Now, isn't that just real special? Here's Dr. Mercola's comment. This is an excellent interview and one that I encourage you to read carefully if you think Splenda is safe to use. Please note that I do not advise using Splenda. Over 3 years ago, I posted an article describing the dangers of Splenda and sucralose. Why not use Splenda? Well, research in animals has shown that sucralose can cause many problems, such as shrunken thymus glands, up to 40% shrinkage, enlarged liver and enlarged kidneys, atrophy of lymph follicles in the spleen and thymus, increased cecal weight, reduced growth rate, decreased red blood cell count, hyperplasia of the pelvis, extension of the pregnancy period, aborted pregnancy, decreased fetal body weights and placental weights, and diarrhea. And nearly every month we receive a report from someone who has had an adverse reaction to Splenda, and you can see many of these reports posted on our website. I also encourage you to take a look at the links below to get a thorough understanding of the dangers that Splenda poses to your health. Related articles are called Splenda's Dangers, One Man's Personal Story That You Should Know, the second, The Potential Dangers of Sucralose, and three, The Dangers of Chlorine and Issues with Sucralose. Again, remember that chlorine is a poison. Chlorine is a poison that you put in your water to kill the bacteria and other wee beasties that lurk therein. Now, I know this is a wild concept, but has it ever occurred to any of you listeners out there to drink clean water? I know it's unheard of, but think about it. Instead of putting chlorine into dirty water so that you can kill all of the bacteria and wee beasties so that the wee beasties and bacteria don't kill you, which makes all the sense in the world. I agree that if you've got wee beasties and bacteria, you that's bad for you, and you shouldn't be drinking that kind of dirty water. But instead of putting chemicals into that dirty water and drinking it, why don't you secure a source of clean water without the chlorine, without the bacteria and the wee beasties? I know it's probably going to stretch your imagination, but give it a shot. Mercola, remember, is called mercola.com. They publish a health newsletter. So why don't you give them a call and pick up a copy. I highly recommend it. Hey, I'm about out of time. I'm going to have to cut it off right about here, give you a final reminder, and we'll take it up right here next time, talking about this thing of aspartame and sugar next time on the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Now, you've been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. Gotta leave it. See you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, and good night, friends.